Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I trust you've been encouraged as we went through the Sunday school hour and are still looking for some more of what the Lord has for us this morning. My thought in the Sunday school lesson there about the children of Israel and the cloud leading them, them following the cloud, and then at the river there when the priest went forward with the ark, and them following the ark, and then in today's lesson, following the ark as it went around the city. Maybe came a little bit because of this message I have this morning, and so I trust you'll bear with me in my Sunday school comments. But I've been pondering this thought of follow me. You know, number 6 in our adult Sunday school, why is it so important that we follow the direction given by faithful leaders? And I know that's talking about a little bit different question there. But ultimately, the message this morning is not following faithful leaders, because if you're following leaders, you're following the wrong person. If you're just following the Daystar Conference and the move it's making, you're following the wrong thing. And so we want to look at what God's Word says to us this morning about following. And Jesus says these words, follow me. And so you can turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. He said it many other times, and we want to just ponder a few of these accounts maybe of when he said that. We could turn to Matthew 16 and find much the same account as what we're finding here in Luke chapter 9. We could turn to Mark 8 and we would find much the same account. But I've chosen to read from Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And I just think it always highlights it a little more when you start having more of the Gospels that just share the same words as Jesus is speaking to the disciples. And he's telling them, and this is what he says, Luke chapter 9, start reading at verse 23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. This message first came to me as we went to Lakeview for examination time. I was on for devotional there, and so I've pulled it into a message here this morning. And I thought about Tyrone this morning, the brother that's, or the people that are there, and they're waiting for the Lord to reveal someone. What does God ask of us in life? Well, it says here in verse 23, exactly what? Deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It don't matter where you're placed in life, God has the same response from each and every one. And how are we doing? Now, turn on back to Luke chapter 14. We again have an account where Jesus' words, and he says about following me, and we're going to come back to Luke chapter 9 and think some more. So if you want to keep your finger in there, you can. But here's what in Luke chapter 14, verse 27, we find some more words of Jesus speaking that I feel strengthens this following me thought. And it's recorded in many, many Gospels as well. Let's start reading verse 25, Luke chapter 14. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? So we have the cross bearing. Come after me. He cannot be my disciple. Matthew 10, as he says this very same account here, he says this, and it's not in this account, but as he said, come after me, he said in Matthew 10, he says, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me. And so it's the same thing as we think about it. But Luke 14 here in verse 27, do not bear his cross and come after me. Follow Christ. You cannot be his disciple. And so we have the call to follow and the seriousness of not following, and that is you cannot be his disciple. Now Matthew chapter 4, if we'd go there, and we'll find where Jesus, let's just turn there, Matthew chapter 4. Let's read scripture, not just quote it, Matthew chapter 4. This is Jesus calling his disciples. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, verse 18, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Men that were busy, men that were doing their occupation, men that had responsibilities in life. We could also go read the account of when Jesus met Matthew, that tax collector. He told Matthew, follow me. And Matthew promptly went and followed Jesus. Just ponder that. These were men that were busy. These were men that had things to do. The fishing industry was here. That's their livelihood. Jesus comes and says, you follow me. I have something else for you to do. Matthew, as we would read his account of when Matthew was called, Jesus called him, and he's that tax collector there, and the tax collectors were tax collectors for the Roman Empire, and they were there. They paid in their dues already. And there's Matthew, he just went and followed Jesus, as Jesus called him. And I don't think he said, no, let me finish up my accounts here, let me finish this account. No, Jesus called and he followed him, and it was prompt obedience right away. So what can we take from these accounts as we ponder Jesus' words to people to follow me? His words in Luke chapter 9 carry something for us too. He's still calling us today, follow me. And the response we must have today is the same as the call was to the disciples back then. The same call is for us today to follow Christ with our lives. And it just takes simple obedience to God and his call. Just follow him. The same obedience to the call as it was for the disciples, it is for us today. And God is holding out his will. He's just willing, wanting people to follow him with their lives. Just wanting people to follow him. Now you can turn back to that Luke chapter 9. We're going to take this account here. And the verse 23. I find something that when we have this call of following Christ, when God calls us to follow him, there's this little word that Luke records. If any man. If lets it on your shoulders as to whether you will or not. You see, the choice is your choice, and the choice is my choice as to whether I'm going to follow, as to whether you're going to follow. I can't make that choice for you. That's your choice. We read that account in Luke 14. It says, if you don't make this choice, you can't be my disciple. That's a serious thought. But it's if. If any man will come after me, if any man's going to do it, then there's promises that are here. If you follow in my path, if you come and be my follower, to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, we must be his follower. But remember, it is a voluntary choice, a choice left for you and I to make, but it's an invitation. It's an invitation. Pondered about reading this, but I'm going to. I was reading in a book, If Any Man Would Follow Me. Somebody had given me the book. And I was impressed with his words that he shared in that book. And it just highlights the point I'm trying to share here. And he said this in the book, If Any Man Would Follow Me. The decision to follow Jesus is personal. No one can make it for us. But the experience is also communal. When we yield to Jesus, we come into the community of faith. No one Christian can know the mind of Christ by himself or herself, and no one Christian can do the will of Jesus by himself or herself. We are his body. Individual Christians are individual members, but no individual Christian can be the body. It is a voluntary choice to serve Christ. If you're going to, will you come? Follow me, Jesus calls. And that experience is one that you are personally. But brothers and sisters, it don't stop with just a personal experience within yourself. When you have come to Christ and you yield yourself to Christ, you become You open yourself up to the body of believers. You want others to speak into your life. It's part of it as each and everyone follows Christ. We pull together as individual members into one body. We be part of that body. The invitation to come, follow Christ, and be part of Christ also is the call to be part of his church and to be part of him. I find it interesting in these accounts, if you go back and follow the context of where it's at, Matthew 16, 18 says this, as Jesus is talking to Peter, "But I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, Peter, of your confessing Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And just following that is when we have Jesus' call to follow me. I believe it comes very closely that we must, as we choose Christ, we must also realize that it is not just something within my heart that I can go out and live my own life, but it is something that brings you into a body of believers. That's your choice if you will follow Christ. It is not the organization of the church that we are called to follow, but follow Christ. And I trust the church is holding that out for us. And so when we get to question 6 and we ponder that question 6, that we follow direction given by faithful leaders, I hang my head in shame because I look at it sometimes, and maybe sometimes us as leaders don't do the or fail in following Christ as we ought to and portraying Christ who you ought to follow. But together, if everyone's focus is to follow Christ, then the leader shouldn't have that much work. The focus should be that we all pull together. We want to align ourselves and be part of God's church. And that is a part of a local body of believers. We are not following a set of rules to please God, but living in a deep spiritual union with Jesus. Jesus asks us to follow him if you will. And that's my first point, if you hadn't picked that out. First point was if. Voluntary choice. Jesus asks us to follow him. An invitation to begin a life of discipleship. A life that's going to go from that point on and following him, being his disciple. Well, Luke chapter 9, as we come to our second point of the message. If any man will come after me or follow Christ, let him deny himself. The second point is, let him deny himself. I see in this, let him deny himself, it is a life of surrender. Surrender of your life to him, giving up of self. As Jesus went to the cross, he denied himself. He denied the self within him. He prayed that God the Father would remove the cup he was facing. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Gave up of self. Do we find it today that we too need to deny self? Yes, we do. I thought about drawing that picture. We've probably all seen it before. But a throne, a chair, a throne. And you put either Christ on there, on that chair, or you put the God of self on there. And you ask yourself that personal question, who is ruling my life? Who is? We today must crucify self. Crucify our fleshly desires and lusts and selfish acts, attitudes that characterize the life of self before we're committed it to Christ. Crucify self. Just the same as Christ gave up of himself and was crucified. Self-denial is still God's Christ's call in our life as we come to follow him. Deny self. Deny self. Galatians 5:24 says, this verse says this, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The third point, take up his cross daily. Take up his cross daily. And these maybe tie close together here. Taking up the cross is about full surrender. We hold nothing back from the Lord. We give it all to the Lord. We give it back to the Lord. Too many times in life when we get to this taking up the cross daily, we start to get like the disciples. We didn't turn to these and read these. But as the disciples have been called by the Lord, they're told to follow Christ. Mark 10:28, and then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and follow thee. Luke 18:28, then Peter said, lo, we have left all and follow thee. Is it just Peter that says this? Do you ever feel that in your life? We've given everything, Lord. What else do you want? Well, God just wants the same thing. He wants you to follow him. Following Christ may lead through difficult places. Why does he place those difficult places there? To help with our surrender to Christ. To build faith. To build trust. In his plan, in his leading, to trust him requires a responsive commitment to him daily. And then, of course, is obedience. We must, when he calls us to follow him, take up his cross daily with commitment. Don't want to bore you with reading this. But I'm going to read some more about following Jesus today. Challenges and opportunities. Today we face a host of challenges and opportunities as we follow Christ. In the multitude of voices, we have the opportunity to proclaim Jesus as God's Son sent to earth to bring light and life and to address the deepest need of the soul. Although the world constantly offers new gadgets and new ideas or old lies and new clothes, because there's nothing new under the sun, the human heart is the same, selfish, sinful, and empty without Christ. Do we have that challenge for us today? As we are called to take up his cross daily, how much does self come into it? Another one, in our affluent culture, we have the challenge of refusing wealth's appeal to our heart and many opportunities to fund the work of the kingdom in missions and ministries both at home and around the world. Without question, this is one of the biggest challenges facing modern Anabaptists. Are we using the wealth entrusted to us according to our master's direction, or are we squandering on ourselves and earthly pleasures? How well are we following Christ? Is it on self? What about our money? In a world that worships individuality and low submission, we have the opportunity to bring you our resources and abilities under the Lordship of Jesus and into usefulness in the community of believers, demonstrating the blessing of living for a cause greater than ourselves. Another one, in a world of political parties and fanatical nationalism, we have the opportunity to proclaim a kingdom that transcends all earthly nations, and instead of entering into the animosity and bickering of earthly politics or trying to shut down those with different views, we seek to overcome evil with good, refusing to retaliate against those who hurt or inconvenience us, accept suffering patiently, and respond with forgiveness. We also have the opportunity of showing respect to leaders who may be less than respectable and for praying for and obeying them to the best of our ability and conscience. Another challenge we face in a world of human selfishness, we have the opportunity to build communities known for our love. The United States has the highest rate of mental illness in our world. Our wealth, our entertainment, our sporting events, our educational degrees, and our iPhones cannot produce the good life even when shored up with drugs. The world desperately needs models of deep and committed relationships and opportunities to participate in Christian community with us. Anabaptist churches are not perfect, he goes on to say. Nor are we the only people through whom Jesus is working. But it's the people that God has called to follow him and are following him are the ones that have the answer for the world. Or are we walking close to it? Who are we following? Who are we following in life? We answer that question ourselves deep within us, as we talked about in the first point. Who am I following? Is it the world? Is it the ease of life? Is it the thought that we don't want to be too fanatical in serving Christ? Who are we following? There's some things I have wrote down here that we will have when we follow Christ. It's three things. When we follow Christ, we find purpose in life. Think about that. Following Christ gives purpose in life. You need something to drive you on? Get a glimpse of Christ and follow him with purpose. You can have joy in the journey. That's the second one. Joy in the journey. When we follow him, we can find joy. The world likes to paint it other ways, but following Christ brings true joy and happiness. And then we also have fulfillment. there's fulfillment. Yes, there's trials. Yes, there's circumstances that are less than ideal. Yes, there's things that we have to go through in life. But when we follow Christ, we can have that rest and peace, knowing that we are following Him wherever He leads us. God calls us to follow. Those disciples that were there in Matthew, as Jesus called those disciples, we see that they forsook and followed Christ. They gave up right away. They gave their lives right away for Christ. In John chapter 21. I find something else. The disciples are uncertain about what's happening. Jesus is crucified. And Jesus is talking to them there, and He's questioned Simon Peter three times there. And what does He say to Simon Peter again? Simon, you went back to fishing. I've called you to be fishers of men. And in verse 19, John 21, verse 19, Jesus again highlights to Peter and He says, follow Me. Peter, you lost the vision. You've gone fishing instead. But follow Me. Come back to Me and follow Me. What did Peter turn around and do? He started looking at people. Well, what about that person over there following Me? What's he going to do? Jesus said, Peter, let's focus on you. If I will that John tarries till I come, that's not your responsibility, Peter. Peter, your responsibility is to follow Me exactly where I placed you in life. Exactly the path I want you to walk. Peter, what's your choice going to be? What is it going to be? Jesus, in His all-knowing, knew what Peter's response is going to be. The same as He knows what you and I are going to choose. But the choice is still yours and mine. Are you going to follow Christ or are we not? And I trust that we still have that desire within our hearts to follow Christ as we ought to. Follow Christ. Just a few closing thoughts yet this morning as you ponder this call to follow Christ. I want you to think within your heart, am I following Christ? We can look at different avenues of things within our lives that maybe show, and we touched on a few of them I've tried to touch on as we read from that book. But where are we at in life? Where am I at in life? Am I following Christ? Should I do better in it? Or am I still waiting in indecision? Where am I at? Jesus doesn't call the perfect. Jesus doesn't call those that have made the grade, so to speak. Who does Jesus call? Sinners. He calls humans that are born with a sin nature within us. He calls them. He wants them to come follow Him. He calls those that can't help themselves. You and I couldn't help ourselves. Our sin nature within us. Jesus is the only one that can help us. What is my response to the Lord's call? What is your response going to be? If, what is our answer going to be to it? If any man would follow Me, how are you answering that call in your life? How do you answer that call when you're faced with challenges in life? How do you answer that call when God speaks to you about a need in your life? What is your response to the Lord's call? I ask you this morning, are you committed to following Christ all the way? Are you committed to serving, following Jesus all the way, no matter where He leads you to? Are you willing to take up your cross daily? That cross, whatever it is, wherever he calls you to, are you willing to do that? Let's kneel for prayer.